Proverbs chapter number 3. And before we get there, I've got some blanks on the lesson. But remember now, we have Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 as a memory verse for chapter 1. We have Proverbs 4:7 as a memory verse for the theme of the book of Proverbs. And then we have Proverbs chapter number 2, how important it is that we understand the fear of God. Okay? Many people don't understand what the fear of the Lord or the fear of God means. And as we look at chapter 2, in verse 1, we'll memorize that one. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. And then we'll endeavor to memorize verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. But it's not the end of the sentence, is it? Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, not the end of the sentence, is it? Verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver, why does it say her? What's it talking about? Is it talking about your girlfriend? Wisdom. Yeah, the Bible refers to wisdom as she, as her. So as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Not the end of the sentence. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So if we do verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, don't stop there, and verse 4, then God says we will understand what the fear of the Lord is. God gives us understanding. So let's endeavor to study these verses, to do these verses, to memorize these verses, and ask God to give us these things that He's promised right here in the verse 5 verses of chapter 2. Okay? So now, let's go to your lesson. Everybody has a lesson? So, Proverbs lesson number 5. I'll put this online. I'll put the print out online. I'll try to do it sometime tomorrow. And the lesson also on sermonaudio.com, Rocky Mountain Baptist Church. The key verse describes the book, Proverbs 4:7. Let's say it together. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Fill in the blank there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. All right, get your Bibles open to Proverbs 3 if you haven't already. I want us to have the fear of the Lord in our lives because it'll make a difference in our lives. It really will. And I want God to give us that understanding. If we understand the fear of the Lord, I mean, we'll still be learning the Bible, but we'll understand a whole lot more of the Bible and of God than if we don't. Okay, so very important. So look at chapter 3, tells us of the product or result of wisdom. Just this week, an 83-year-old Christian said to me, reading the book of Proverbs through in 1 month, every day, one chapter is an anchor to our Christian living. I agree. I said, amen. So, A, the product of wisdom from verses 1 through 2. B, the product of compassion, 3 to verse 4. C, the product of conviction, verses 5 through 6. D, the product of character, verses 7 through 8. E, the product of contributions, verses 9 through 10. F, the product of chastisement, verses 11 through 12. Now, why don't we stand for the reading of chapter number 3, verses 1 through 12, and then we'll get into the lesson. If you are able to stand, and if you're not, we understand. Proverbs chapter number 3, look at verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now, isn't that interesting that the book of Proverbs, written probably, what is it, over 3,000, over 4,000 years ago, somewhere around there, it's definitely over more than 2,500 years. So isn't it interesting that God would know that our navel is where our health is? You know what that means? The stomach, our gut. You know what the health gurus of our day are saying? Health is in the gut. If your gut's unhealthy and there's a wall that has been diminished by the foods that we eat, then guess what? We're not healthy. So if you want to get healthy, get probiotics in your life. It's a good start, good way. Now, I'm not saying it cures every disease, but I'm saying you get your gut healthy, you'll be healthy. Isn't that what the Bible's saying right there? Where's your navel? It's right there. Isn't that amazing? It's not by accident. And marrow or marrow to thy bones. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So let's pray, and then we'll be seated. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the book of Proverbs. Lord, you tell us to ask for wisdom. You want to give us wisdom. You want to bless us. You want us to be able to make decisions that will have great consequences, good consequences. And yet you warn the evildoer of not accepting the wisdom that you have for us, of rejecting the wisdom that is offered. So I pray, Lord, that we not be fools, but we be wise. And so I pray you teach all of us here tonight. Fill me with your spirit. Help me, Lord, to preach and teach what you'd have me to, and help me to refrain from anything that is not profitable. So we ask these things, Lord, and we pray, God, for all the missionaries. They had requests of more souls being saved. And of course, you command us, Lord, to pray that you, our Lord, would send forth more laborers into the harvest. So we pray for the harvest field around the world, but also here in Montana and the United States, that more missionaries, that you call out more missionaries out of our local New Testament churches. And Lord, help us to train, help us to teach in such a way, Lord, where you could make more leaders. And some of the missionaries asked for that. And some of the missionaries asked for a new church building that they could put up, new land. Thank you, Lord, what you did there with that investment. You guided him. We're so thankful for that. So give them more souls for their labor, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated now. Thank you for standing. All right, so let's look at A, the product of wisdom. We just read verses 1 through 12, but the product of consecration from verses 1 through 2. Wisdom recognizes the great value of dedication to the Lord. Okay, look at your lesson there. The command of wisdom, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, according to Proverbs 3:1. So the command is twofold. First, the interest in the word, forget not my law. Our devotion to the word of God is vital to keeping the word of God. Daily Bible reading and memorization is necessary to keep from forgetting what God has said. Okay? Now, some of you might look at me and say, boy, I don't know why, you know, he's very particular that we listen when the Word of God. Think about all the hours that you have during the week. Some of you in the public schools, some of you in homeschool, but as we're living throughout the week, we all find places that we go to that is anti-God, with the music that they put in front of us that we didn't choose. Listen, sometimes you go out to eat and I'm like, I didn't choose to be at a rock and roll concert. I mean, you know, they play this music and it's like, wow, they want you to really move to it because it's so blaring loud. And then when you ask them to turn it down, well, we don't know how to turn it down. Man, what are you, an idiot? You don't know the button? But a lot of people give that excuse. And they're not being an idiot. Music is so important to them that they really can't work unless they have the music. They'd probably go home and not work anymore if their boss said, we can't play that music anymore because our customers are totally dissatisfied. But guess what? We're not in the majority on that, are we? When we ask for the music to be turned down, we're in the minority. Yes, we are. But the product of consecration for us to be reading and memorizing so that we don't forget what God has said. We have what? 1 hour from Sunday night to Sunday morning. We have 1 hour that we come together for the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And if we're not reading the Word of God on our own, that's all you've got. So you've got what? 1% of your hours, of your minutes that you're getting truth in your life. Now, that's a generalization. I understand when we homeschool, we have more of the Word of God. And if you have in your school where the teacher prays and shares the Word of God before you start, praise God for that. So then I understand you're getting a little bit more. Praise God for that. But for the most part, 1 hour from Sunday night to Sunday morning, that is such a little bit of time that you'll have a hard time remembering tomorrow what this lesson was about. It's just how it is right now. So if you pay attention and you ask in your heart, God, help me to get, you know, and if it makes no sense to you and you sit there like, man, this guy, it's like he's talking, but I'm getting nothing. Then something's either wrong with me or something's wrong with you. How's that song go? If you think that there's something wrong with the Word of God, then something's wrong with you. There's never anything wrong with the Word of God. Now, I'll admit to you, at times I might be off. But if you ask the rest of the congregation, hey, what did he preach about? What did he teach? What was he saying? I got absolutely nothing. And if all of them said, I have no idea what he said today, well, then it's me. Okay? So I want you to do that. If you get nothing from it, you ask the other people that were in the same class right here as you, and then come to me. Hey, brother, I don't know what it was tonight, but what you said, nobody got it. And I'll take that to heart. And a good teacher does that. Amen? Amen. So I'm either a good teacher or a bad teacher, but I let the Lord deal with me as he will on that. I want to be a good teacher. I want us to get what we're wanting to get. So look at your last one, fill in the blank there, forgetting what God has said. Disinterest in the Word of God results in forgetting what God has said and written down for us. Second, the doing of the Word, let thine heart keep my commandments. The most powerful way to not forget God's commandments is by obeying his Word. Okay, so when we're looking at chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, I mean, God is saying, you do these things and I'll give you this. I mean, it's powerful if you go home and say, well, now what was verse 1? Okay, I'm going to do that. What was verse 2? Okay, I'm going to do that. What was verse 3? Okay, I'm going to do that. And you work all the way to verse 4 and God says, now I'm going to do my part. Now I'm going to give you verse 5. That's precious. It is one thing to hear, but then to put that knowledge into daily living is powerful. Next, the compensation of wisdom. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs 3:2. To keep the command to not forget the Word of God and do what the Holy Bible says will add time and tranquility to one's life. You know why I put Holy Bible in there? We take for granted that when we say Bible, that everyone knows what we mean. And you know what I've had many times over when I'm witnessing to a Muslim? You know what they'll say? You have a Bible, and Bible means writings. You have writings, but we have the holy, holy Quran. And they say something else and do something else when they mention it. And if you don't, it's like disrespecting it. Well, guess what? The Quran is not holy. It was written by shysters and deceivers. That's what history teaches us and tells us. And not to mention pedophiles. Okay? That's why I don't tolerate that kind of nonsense. And so that kind of junk deserves to be in the garbage. But our Bible is a holy Bible that God has preserved for over 400 years. And it's as powerful today in our life as it ever was when it was written down or when Jesus gave it by the Holy Spirit of God to his disciples. It's just as powerful. Man, that's awesome. The compensation of wisdom. So it's a holy Bible. Our Bible is holy. The holy writings. That's another way to say it. Or holy Bible. It's not just the Bible. And, well, you know what you mean, preacher. Well, yeah, okay. But, you know, the Muslims don't know what we mean. And they think we're saying just writings. So just a little something. The compensation of wisdom for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Yes, I know I read it already. So look at to keep the command to not forget the word of God and to do what the Holy Bible says will add time and tranquility to one's life. Let's keep our place here and go to, well, we don't need to. I wrote it down. Psalm 55:23. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out, say it with me, half their days. See, it's not just me that saying it because of my opinion, you know, do the word of God and be obedient to the word of God. Don't have a rebellious attitude. We have the example of Absalom, who is a deceitful man. He died at a young age. Now, let's look at it again. This is the second time in this series that we're looking at it. But let's look at 2 Samuel 15. Last time, I believe we looked at a different part. So 2 Samuel. And I want to read it just as I have it here. We'll begin verse 11. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. So what does that mean? They didn't know how to add 2 + 2. They probably did. But they were simple concerning what Absalom was doing. Okay? And that's sometimes how a deceiver will win over someone who's not wise. Because simple means to, you don't have an understanding of what really is going on. Okay? And so we have verse 11. Let's go to verse 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. So what's the problem here? Reading this and not reading all the context, what's the problem? Absalom is not king. David is king. But now he's got a following, so much so that this conspiracy that started off with a thought in Absalom's head, you know what it was? It gained strength. You know why? Now he's got a bunch of people following. A bunch of people willing to drink the Kool-Aid. There's people out there that are cultish and people that get a following from simple people that don't know the Bible. And they'll lurk them out to someplace in the Amazon and say, boy, we're going to go to heaven. Follow me. And everybody says, yes, we're following you. Okay, drink the Kool-Aid. They drink the Kool-Aid and they're all dead. 1,200 of them. Don't be one of those idiots. Yeah, don't be a simpleton who gets deceived by some guy who says, man, I'm God's man. And if you follow me, boy, God's going to bless you. And they give you a little bit of money. And then they say, now sell your house and sell everything you have and give everything to me. Don't follow a guy like that or a girl like that. Don't be simple. Know what the word of God says so that you don't fall into that. Well, Absalom was a rebel and he's gaining strength now. OK, so let's go now to chapter 18, chapter 18. And verse 10. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. All right. This guy says, hey, I saw Absalom. Craziest thing. He's hanging in an oak tree by his hair and he can't get out of it. Mr. Pretty Boy, Mr. Rebel. And he was a pretty boy. You read the rest of the story. He is the prettiest boy in town. I mean, he probably put a little bit of makeup on. Who knows? But he was pretty, and boy, he had beautiful long hair, and it signified his rebellion. And he got stuck in a tree while riding, and there he is, hanging there. Now, what happens to him? Look at verse 14. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom. You know why that happened? There were some people that said, I'm loyal to David. while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak, and 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. So guess what? He didn't live out half his age. You know why? He was a rebel. He said, the word of God, I don't care what the word of God says. Dad, I don't care what Dad says. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to prove that I'm right. I'm going to have a bunch of followers after me. And guess what? He dies. It's sad. It's sad because he comes from such a lineage as David, and yet he was such a rebel and died early. All right, so now let's look at the product of compassion. The product of compassion. The command of wisdom. The command of wisdom, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 4. The compensation for keeping mercy and truth is twofold. First, the compensation of wisdom. He shall direct thy paths. What verse is that right there? Okay. Did we skip over? Yeah, we did. Did we skip over verse 5? I think we did. So put verse 6 there. And then let's look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Okay. So often in church, we're talking about, you know, put your faith and trust in the Lord. Put your faith and trust in what he has said. And a good question to ask ourselves, do you believe that this is the word of God? Now, don't answer it for someone to hear beside you. I don't even want to hear you say it, but answer it in your own heart. Do you believe this is the word of God? The Holy King James Bible that we've had for over 400 years and that God promised to preserve to every generation. Okay, so start there. And we tell you, well, trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, right? All right. And if you don't do that, you're not going to understand the word of God. All right. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So if I have a chair here, I guess I can't really pick it up, but a little bit I can. OK, there we go. All right. So I've got a chair. All right. Now, if you ask me, do you think that chair will hold you up? Oh, yes, absolutely. I believe it with all mine heart. Do I? Now ask me to sit down in the chair. Can you ask me a little louder? Well, I believe. Don't you believe that I believe that that chair will hold me up? So why do I have to sit in it? Because I've got a head knowledge that it's going to hold me up. I might even have a head knowledge that another day it held me up. But right now, I'm going to sit in it. Now, I'm sitting in it, and I'm not putting any of my weight on my feet. I am resting in the chair. I am totally trusting in this chair. So much so that if one of you unscrewed one of the legs or something like that, and I would fall down, well, I would fall down because I'm totally trusting in this chair. The Lord is asking us, trust with all your heart, not with your head, but with all our heart. Right? Isn't that good? Simple illustration. Sometimes people say, oh, yeah, I trust in the Lord. Sometimes it's a great way to illustrate to someone, this is what it means to really trust in the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord for salvation. I'm sitting. I'm resting in Christ. That's why I have no problem with sitting while we're singing. We can even sing standing on the promises of God while we're sitting. You know why? Because we're not talking about literally we have to stand. We're talking about trusting in the Lord with all our heart. Amen. Amen. So look at verse 5 again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Go ahead and write down the illustration of the chair in your notes. The illustration of the chair. And you should remember it if you write it down because you also looked at it. Okay? So as you're doing that, the Bible says in verse 5, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, this is interesting. As we get closer to Missions Conference, April 26th through the 30th, I'll mention more about it and I'll preach more and teach more and just some things that I think the Lord wants me to bring across. But let's say you make a commitment to the Lord and halfway through the year, right about now, boy, it's getting tough, you know. Maybe the job changed, maybe money income changed, and you're saying, boy, I know I believed when I made that commitment, but now, boy, I don't know. And you start leaning, you start going towards your own reasoning, your own ways, instead of saying, I'm going to continue to trust in the Lord in all my ways, in my giving, in my working, in my preaching and teaching, in my sharing the gospel, in my living, in other words. So the Bible warns us, don't lean to your own understanding, because there's some things that we don't understand. I don't understand why some of us have sicknesses that we don't get cured of. I just don't understand it. If it was up to me, I'd like to heal you. But I can't, because I'm not a holy healer. There's only one, Jesus Christ. And it doesn't happen on TV either. If it happens anywhere, it's not on TV. I'm speaking to this thing because the volume is really loud. Doesn't happen on TV. All right. And so take that for what it says. But the Lord is the healer. You know, sometimes the Lord, I prayed to him, and he brings healing to a person. I remember praying for a young man when I was in college. He kept complaining. He couldn't sit down. He had to stand. What happened was I was working on a roof with him. And the day that I wasn't working on the roof with him, he fell off the roof. He said, no big deal. He's a young guy. And he just goes back up to the roof and starts working again. I said, you're crazy. Wasn't long before he couldn't work. He couldn't stand. He couldn't sit. He could barely do anything. And I said, hey, let me pray for you. I didn't think of myself as anybody. I felt bad for the guy. And I prayed, and the Lord healed him within a day. And as far as I know, he's still healed. I don't know if it ever came back. I don't understand why God healed him and why God won't heal me of my disc problem that I have. But God warns me. You don't go to your own reasoning or start saying, well, God's way just doesn't work. Or, you know, God just, he's not answering any prayers. No. That's foolishness. God says, don't go that direction. Later on, when we're in heaven, I believe God will give us understanding of a lot of things. But even if he doesn't, he's still worthy to be served because he's God. Amen. So verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So here you have a promise from God that if you and I, we acknowledge in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Okay? So every area of our life, we're not saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do. No, I'm going to stop. You know, it's like a vacuum cleaner salesman comes along. And man, this is popular in Canada for a long time. Vacuum cleaner salesman would come along, and the Kirby vacuum cleaner salesman and others, and they'd have free Kleenex for you or a free roll of toilet paper. And how good isn't that? Boy, they should have come along during COVID time. They should have, right? So they come along. Oh, man, these are nice people. Come on in. And man, they'd make it sound so good that so many people buy those vacuum cleaners. Well, I don't know if I want to do it today. But if you don't do it today, the deal's gone. And we might not have any vacuum cleaners left. Oh, man, then I better get it. Wait a minute. Before you say, okay, I'm going to do it, why not do this? Well, let's bow for prayer. And I'm just going to ask the Lord to direct me if he wants me to buy this thing tonight. That's great if they'll bow down with you. I doubt they will. We don't have time for that. But say, well, you know what? I think we're done here. I'm going to pray about it, and I'll give you a call. Deal's going to be done. Well, then it's probably not for me. The Lord tells me not to rush into things. He tells me that in many places. So let's not rush into it. Goodbye. You see what I'm saying? So easy to say, I'm going to do this, or be convinced that you've got to do it now. Take time and acknowledge God with whatever you're dealing with first. Amen. Turn the sheet back over. Now you see chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. See there, the product of conviction. God wants us to be people not of preference, but of conviction. So God deals with us on a matter, and we say, yeah, I see it from the Word of God. He convicted me of it. I made a decision about it, and I asked God to help me live it out. And somebody comes along and says, oh, brother, that's just preference, man. Come on. We're in a different geography. After all, we're in Vegas. Who's going to know? What stays in Vegas, what happens in Vegas, stays in Vegas. You know the commercial, right? Well, is that true? Is that how God wants us to live? No. He wants us to be people of conviction. So here's what I want you to do. And next class, just a simple result of the product of conviction, looking at those verses. D, the product of character. E, the product of contributions. All right. F, the product of chastisement. I've given you an outline on the first page what I would like for you to do. There's no wrong way. You just ask the Lord to show you how to outline what I just gave you. You can copy my way or do it your way, but I can't wait to see what you do next week with that. We're going to pray, close in prayer on the lesson, and then we're going to have prayer requests and pray for those. Young people, you did a good job. I appreciate it. Thank you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. You're our Father because of you sending him to earth to die for us and then to raise him from the dead. And we are so thankful that you've given us the Holy Spirit. We're so thankful that you've given us the Word of God. And I pray that you give us wisdom. Lord, I pray for every person in this room that you'd help us. Help us, Lord, that we would put things in our lives that you've commanded here, that we would not forget what the Word of God says, especially in situations where the devil wants to trip us up. And so we pray that you'd help us with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're in here today and God is convicting you and he wants you to make a decision.